Well, some of you may remember that a few years ago, our culture went on a bit of a Mr. Rogers kick. Remember that, Mr. Rogers? There was that documentary called Won't You Be My Neighbor, which I have to say is absolutely incredible. If you have not seen the Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, I encourage you to go home this afternoon and watch it. There was also the Tom Hanks movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, where, Hanks played Mr. Rogers, which is not quite as good, but still okay and worth a watch. There were books and magazine articles, and all these stories came out that people had forgotten, about the time that Mr. Rogers on his show bathed his feet next to the black postal worker at a time when public pools were being sort of violently segregated. Or when he went in front of the Senate at a time when they were ready to cut National Endowment of the Arts funding. And because of his testimony, they were able to keep funding for PBS. There was a lot said a few years ago about how we need someone like Fred Rogers in our world today. We need his gentleness, his civility, his warmth, his wisdom in the midst of our angry and divided times. He passed away in 2003, and he's missed. Truth be told, I, at this time, went also on a bit of a Fred Rogers kick myself. I, of course, had watched him as a small child growing up in Connecticut, like millions of other kids around the country. You know, at his peak, 10% of American households were tuning in on a regular basis to watch Mr. Rogers, believe it or not. PBS had never seen anything like it. And as I was thinking about Mr. Rogers, I was wondering, what was it about this man that was so attractive, so appealing? What was it about him that was so comforting? Why did so many people, so many children and adults, find themselves drawn to this almost painfully unhip, uncool, dorky, softly spoken man? Right? In this documentary, there's this TV critic who says, if you want to have all the elements for a truly unsuccessful television program, you have low production value, an uncharismatic host, slow pace, jazz music for children. Like, there's no reason Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood should have worked, and yet it did, against all expectations. Why was that? I have to say, as part of my kick too, someone gave me this incredible mug, which when you put hot coffee in it, Mr. Rogers' blazer turns to a cardigan. It's amazing. And it, you know, when he comes in, he puts his sneakers on and everything, and has all sorts of sayings of his. Someday you'll be a grown-up too. That's my hope. Did you know that when you wonder, you're learning? I like you just the way you are. This is one of my prized possessions. Someone at my former church gave this to me because I was going through my Mr. Rogers kick at that time. Anyway, this morning I want to share with you just one story that I think captures something of the essence, the wisdom, the godliness that was exhibited by Fred Rogers and the impact that he had on people, not just through the television, but interpersonally, what it was about him that made him so special. And this story comes from an article that was written in Esquire magazine called Can You Say Hero? Can You Say Hero? And I'm pretty sure that the Tom Hanks movie is loosely based on the relationship between Mr. Rogers and the person who wrote this article. So let me read you a passage from this. It's a little bit long, but it is well worth it. It's powerful. And it's written in a style that is similar to the style of the show, which I like. Sort of the medium fits well with the message. So here's what Can You Say Hero says from Esquire magazine. Once upon a time, there was a boy who didn't like himself very much. It was not his fault. He was born with cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is something that happens to the brain. It means that you can think, but sometimes can't walk or even talk. This boy had a very bad case of cerebral palsy, and when he was still a little boy, some of the people entrusted to take care of him took advantage of him instead and did things to him that made him think he was a very bad little boy. Because only a bad little boy would have to live with the things he had to live with. In fact, when the little blue boy grew up to be a teenager, he would get so mad at himself, he would hit himself hard with his own fists and tell his mother on the computer he used for a mouth that he didn't want to live anymore. For he was sure that God didn't like what was inside him any more than he did. He had always loved Mr. Rogers, though, and even now, when he was 14 years old, he watched the neighborhood whenever it was on, and the boy's mother sometimes thought that Mr. Rogers was keeping her son alive. She and the boy lived together in a city in California, and although she wanted very much for her son to meet Mr. Rogers, she knew that he was far too disabled to travel all the way to Pittsburgh, where Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was filmed. So she figured he would never meet his hero, until one day she learned through a special foundation designed to help children like her son that Mr. Rogers was coming to California and that after he visited the gorilla named Coco, he was coming to meet her son. At first, the boy was made very nervous by the thought that Mr. Rogers was visiting him. He was so nervous, in fact, that when Mr. Rogers did visit, he got mad at himself and began hating himself and hitting himself, and his mother had to take him to another room and talk to him. Mr. Rogers didn't leave, though. He wanted something from the boy, and Mr. Rogers never leaves when he wants something from somebody. He just waited patiently, and when the boy came back, Mr. Rogers talked to him, and then he made his request. He said, "I would like you to do something for me. Would you do something for me?" On his computer, the boy answered, "Yes, of course." He would do anything for Mr. Rogers. So then Mr. Rogers said, "I would like you to pray for me. Will you pray for me?" And now the boy didn't know how to respond. He was thunderstruck. Thunderstruck means that you can't talk because something has happened that's as sudden and as miraculous and maybe as scary as a bolt of lightning. And all you can do is listen to the rumble. The boy was thunderstruck because nobody had ever asked him for something like that, ever. The boy had always been prayed for. The boy had always been the object of prayer. And now he was being asked to pray for Mr. Rogers. And although at first he didn't know if he could do it, he said he would. He said he'd try. And ever since then, he keeps Mr. Rogers in his prayers and doesn't talk about wanting to die anymore, because he figures Mr. Rogers is close to God. And if Mr. Rogers likes him, that must mean God likes him too. As for Mr. Rogers himself, well, he doesn't look at the story in the same way that the boy did, or that I did. In fact, when Mr. Rogers first told me the story, I complimented him on being so smart, for knowing that asking the boy for his prayers would make the boy feel better about himself. And Mr. Rogers responded by looking at me at first with puzzlement and then with surprise. "Oh, heavens no, Tom. I didn't ask him for his prayers for him. I asked for me. I asked him because I think that anyone who has gone through challenges like that must be very close to God. I asked him because I wanted his intercession." So as I thought about this story and others like it, because as I said, this is not a unique Fred Rogers story. There are many Fred Rogers stories like this. What I think I realized is that Mr. Rogers, in a very real way, embodied and proclaimed the kingdom of God wherever he went. That his love, his faith was like a light in the darkness. Because the truth is that the world is very often a dark and lonely and painful place. But somehow Fred Rogers, through his faith, through his humility, through his patience and unconditional love, carried the kingdom of God and the presence of Jesus wherever he went. And people were desperate for it. I have to say, I myself am desperate for it. In today's gospel, right after Jesus' baptism, after his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus goes out into the world and proclaims, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news. And I have to confess, I'm not always exactly sure what that means, because I look at our world, I look at my life, and I wonder, has the time been fulfilled? Is the kingdom of God near? Where is it? I can't seem to see it, or to find it, or to feel it. But then I think of Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers with this poor, abused, sick boy, the effect he had. And when I think of that, it's like I can see the kingdom of God and I am filled with hope and with peace and with faith. There's another thing Mr. Rogers knew, something very biblical, and that is that God is especially near to the brokenhearted, the rejected, the abused, the lonely and self-loathing and injured. So often we think that suffering is a mark of God's absence, but it isn't. In fact, the Bible says that somehow suffering invites the presence of God into our lives. And Mr. Rogers himself knew this from experience because he did not have an easy childhood, but he encountered that love of God even in the midst of his suffering. Now, I want to be clear. Mr. Rogers was not perfect. He wasn't Jesus. Although in the documentary, they interview both of his sons, and his boys themselves say, we probably have never known anyone who is more like God than our father. And if your boys can say that about their dad, he was pretty good. But Mr. Rogers, even though he wasn't Jesus, he believed in Jesus. He was an ordained Presbyterian pastor. Did you know that? He was ordained as a missionary for television in the 1970s. He was a pastor, he was a visionary, he was in some ways a modern-day saint. Mr. Rogers trusted and loved Jesus. And through the power of Jesus in his life, the kingdom of God was made known like a beacon of hope. I hate to use this word because it's so politicized, but truly a safe space in the midst of this difficult existence. That's what kids experienced when they watched him on television. That's what people experienced when they met him. Maybe you have known people like that who made the love of God immediate in your life. And so as we head into this Lenten season, I remind you one more time of Jesus' words that we might believe them, know them to be true, experience these words. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Amen.